Hi, hey, hello, and welcome to another fine, fine episode of a Colts podcast brought to you by Fan Nation on SI.com. My name's Brandon, and I'm joined here by your co-host, my best friend, Andrew Moore. How are you doing today, sir?
Man, I'm fired up. The training camp period for the Indianapolis Colts, we're done. Training camp concluded today. Now, the Colts have their sights set on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the preseason finale. Basically a dress rehearsal for what the regular season is going to look like. So, yeah, I was at Westfield this week. Got to talk to some interesting players, some coordinators. And just ready to talk about Colts football with you this evening. How you doing, man?
I'm just doing so well. Today we were testing for radon in our home.
Nice.
Because during our inspection, it was a little above recommended. So we did some things to hopefully resolve said issue.
That can't kill you.
No, it just gives you lung cancer. The lung cancer kills you.
Yikes.
And killing thousands every day, Andrew. How do we do this? How do we do this?
Not even 2 minutes in and the episode's off the rails.
I mean, anyway.
There's that lung cancer.
So we got, there it is. So we got a little test in our home right now. And they said, oh, by the way, you need to close all your windows. Fun fact, if you are, you know, a regular listener, you know my air conditioning's still not fixed.
Still.
Should be fixed Saturday, Dad says. We're here. We're going to start laying floor this weekend even maybe. So
wow.
Things are moving. Very happy. Make sure to go follow us at A Colts Podcast on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at A Colts Podcast. It's pretty straightforward, but guys, listen.
Wait, first of all, we got to talk about this. What's that? Your bachelor party this weekend.
I did. I survived. Came out on top, even, some would say.
It's a good time.
Got a boat. Didn't technically wreck the boat, but did not technically wreck the boat.
Was it a boat with a $20,000 custom paint job?
No, listen, if you've got a boat with a $20,000 custom paint job and your neighbor's house is bigger than yours, you're spending your money the wrong way. get a life. Can we move forward from that? Who's commenting already? Is Matt here?
That's Matt.
Michigan was phenomenal. Weather was great. Should I say what my stash said? My sash?
No,
we'll leave it out. I had a very special sash. Maybe we'll send it to you, Matt, and you can see a picture, but it was good. But we've got a big announcement, okay? Probably the second Colts podcast today to announce this, but new sponsor alert. I don't know really what button to use for new sponsor alert.
Pick a good one.
You like that? You like that?
Are you like that? Our new You Like That sponsor for a Colts podcast, Home Field Apparel. Ever heard of them? Just a local indie business making some wonderful vintage college apparel, premium collegiate apparel brand out of Indianapolis. Incredibly comfortable. I would know. I'm not wearing any right now. This is also an anti-UPS ad. Because they've delayed my order 2 fucking days in a row. So explicit. I really appreciate that. I wish I was wearing some nice comfy joggers, maybe, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
but anyway, officially licensed apparel with vintage college designs, being a local brand to Indianapolis, the Colts reached out to Homefield. Andrew, we didn't reach out to them. Homefield didn't reach out to the Colts. Colts reached out to Homefield.
Pretty impressive.
By the way, impressive. And if you Google them, there's pictures of stuff. So they're too legit. And now they've got an exclusive partnership to launch this collection of Homefield and Colts apparel. This is Homefield's first NFL collection. Super excited for the opportunity to work with the best organization in the league in the Indianapolis Colts. Homefield and the Colts work together exclusively to make this co-branded collection, bringing Indianapolis together. There's 6 items, Andrew. 6.
Run through them.
Get ready for the season with these 6 items. Hooded sweatshirt. Yep. Crew neck. Get it. 2 tees, by the way. Jacket.
Look at those beautiful
players. Are we on jacket? Yeah, and the jacket. Two tees, joggers, very comfortable joggers per Andrew, and a jacket. JT repping right there, one of the t-shirts and the jacket. And Kenny, the third, the sweatshirt. Going to be getting me one of those. perfect collection to kick off the season, Andrew. And if you need something to wear this season, go to homefieldapparel.com and use A Colts Podcast. All one word, A Colts Podcast, to get 15% off your first purchase. Launching the Colts collection this Saturday, 8/27 at 12 p.m. Eastern. Home field. It's where your heart is.
Listen, home field sent, well, since Brandon's order got delayed, but I got mine today. Got a nice our t-shirt.
It's his tomorrow.
Yeah.
Why? Who knows? All you need is find out.
Very nice shirt, very breathable, very comfortable. And those joggers, you got to get you some of those joggers. I could lounge in those all day, every day.
Look fantastic. Those are some nice joggers.
Fantastic apparel by Home Field. You're going to have to check it out. Promo code, A Colts Podcast.
By the way, Matt, I was not in good shape when I got home. I mean, it was a rough couple of days. All right. Well, that's Home Field. Thanking them very much for the opportunity and them asking us. Hey, they reached out to us. You know, like the Colts reached out to them. They reached out to us. Big guys reaching out to the little guys. We appreciate that.
Love it.
So Colts versus Lions last weekend. Andrew, another big preseason L. My favorite thing of Colts season. We did lose 27-26. This is not Zach Hicks' show, so you may ask about a kicker. That is allowed. And we will probably get around to kicker talk on this episode. You know what? New segment, kicker talk. Anywho, Colts versus Lions. I still haven't watched. Probably not going to watch it. That was my weekend off. Let's just call it that. Andrew, notes say Patman and Strawn Shine. What are we doing here?
They look good. I mean, we were on a boat at the time of this game.
We're literally on a boat, by the way.
But I watched it Sunday night coming back from Michigan. And Patman and Strawn, very, very good. Patman had 5 catches for 103 yards, including a 50-yard touchdown from Sam Ellinger to Desmond Patman as he rolled into the end zone. He looked good. And I mean, Patman coming out of college, we kind of knew him as the guy that really could only run deep routes. But we're seeing this preseason and throughout training camp, Desmond Patman really starting to come into his own as far as the route tree is concerned. He's running crossers, he's running quick slants, and he's having his most productive training camp of preseason.
It's called NFL Plus, Matt. Get with it.
The replay available. So, but yeah, I think Patman was looking good. And I think a big thing for Desmond Patman, and you and I have talked about it, Brandon, Desmond Patman hasn't really been a factor on special teams the past couple of years. Well, we're getting into year 3 now. And if Patman can't contribute to the offense in a bigger role, he's got to find a way to get on the field. And the Colts in training camp and in the games have been putting Desmond Patman out there on special teams. So he's starting to create that role for himself. So your boy, Desmond Patman, you're close personal friends with his mother.
Close personal friends with his mom.
Desmond Patman looks good. And I think he can find himself a role. And I think on Saturday, he clinched his spot on this Colts offense. And I think we're going to see a bigger role out of Patman than we normally have.
5 catches, 103 yards, and a tutter. Long of 50, by the way. 6 targets, 5 out of 6 targets pulled in. That's wild. What about Mike Strawn? We see Mike Strawn, 3 catches, 45 yards and a tut. Not quite the production of Patman, but 3 targets, 3 catches, and an average of 15 yards catch.
And we got to remember, Mike Strawn just came off the PUP list last week. That is a
very good point.
He had a couple days of practice and then went right into the game. And we saw the Mike Strawn that we saw last year. And I've seen him up close a couple times here in camp already. That knee injury, that torn meniscus that he suffered in the spring, I see no lingering effects from that injury. He's quick. The long strides are there. Doesn't look like he slowed down any. And I think this is what we need to see for Mike Strom, because he missed so much time leading up to the game against the Lions. We haven't really seen what he has improved on. And then when I spoke to him, he told me that he's really focused in on the mental aspect of it, kind of learning the playbook, making sure he has the route tree down, and it just becoming second nature to him. And we're kind of seeing that on the field. It doesn't look like he's thinking. It looks like things are just easy for him now. Do I expect Mike Strong to have a huge role in this offense? Probably not, at least to start. But I do think any reservations of him making the roster, those were put to bed. I think Mike Strong and Desmond Patman are wide receiver 5, wide receiver 6, respectively, and I think both of them will make the Colts 53-man roster.
You know, when you wake up at 5:30 every day after a real long weekend, it does catch up. And just in regards to the receivers still on this, since Matt brought it up, Pierce apparently had one real hard-fought catch as well for a first down. I don't know where it just went, but you get it. So that's good to see. I do love that. Let's talk about, you know, the Colts' new QB1, Sam Ehlinger. 9 for 11, 136 yards, averaged 12.4, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 2 sacks, 157 passer rating, almost 158, and 2 rushing yards. My God. Somebody signed him to the big contract. He did so well in a preseason game where hardly any starters played on either side. Incredible.
Sam Ehlinger, I will give him his respect. He did do well. And he's starting to stack these. Now, we still need to pump the brakes again. But Frank Reich was even asked specifically this past week if there's a QB competition between Nick Foles and Sam Ehlinger. And in the Frank Reich way of saying it, he said no. Because there isn't. It's still Matt Ryan, number one. Nick Foles is the undisputed number two quarterback, and Sam Ehlinger is third. That's fine. Sam Ehlinger is not Andrew Luck. He's not going to be the savior of this Colts team and the quarterback of the future. Has he done?
He's never supposed to be.
He really wasn't. Has he done some good things in this preseason? Yes. Has he improved from last season even? Yes. But if it gives you any indication, when I was at camp,
didn't he end up on the roster too? Because no, he ended up being backup, didn't he?
Yikes. Yeah, he won the backup job. But here's the indication. I was at Westfield yesterday watching all practice. Matt Ryan and Nick Foles took pretty much every single rep in practice. Yeah. I think Sam Ehlinger had maybe 3 or 4 reps. That gives you a clear indication that Sam Ehlinger he's either playing to be the third quarterback on this team, which I'm not even sure the Colts keep three quarterbacks, but really he's putting things on tape for other teams to see. If he does get cut, maybe he could find a backup job somewhere else where he's guaranteed to be the backup.
I've got a solution. Make him the punter. Walks on water, Sam Ehlinger. I like Sam. Sam's got a hell of a story. I would love more than anything. You know, if he somehow beat out Nick Foles, that'd be incredible. He's not going to. This offense, Nick Foles and Matt Ryan play are very similar in regards to their mobility and being a pocket passer. I just don't see Sam fitting into the role. The offense, you know, the offense is Frank's offense, but it's tailored to this year, a Matt Ryan role, a Nick Foles role. You know, last year it was a little more tailored to a more mobile quarterback like Carson Wentz, Andrew Luck style. It's not the goal this year. So it's just unrealistic. Get over it, and that's it. The defensive line struggles versus the Lions, Andrew. That makes you worry a little bit more about the depth. Who was in there that was struggling that we should be worried about?
Well, since last week it was mostly second and third stringers playing against the second and third stringers of the Detroit Lions. So we saw guys like Eric Johnson, Curtis Brooks, Byron Cowart, guys like Kavion Patton, who's no longer with the team. Guys like that were in the interior of the defensive line, and the Lions really gassed them And they had their way with them up between the tackles. As far as the running game is concerned, there were numerous times where the Colts defensive linemen were just completely pushed off their spot, and they were dominated by the Lions offensive linemen. And that was kind of the theme in Buffalo as well. So it's starting to become a trend. And I think there might be some concern about those guys behind, like a DeForest Buckner and a Grover Stewart. They need to really start showing it in the game. Now, the talent is there. I mean, seeing it in practice, you can see why the Colts drafted Eric Johnson and Curtis Brooks this past spring. But you got to start showing it during the games as well. You got to not be so easily moved off your spot. You got to fight, hold your ground, and show that you can produce and really step up to stop that run. Because so far in these first two preseason games, the Colts backups have not done a good job at stopping the run. So definitely something to keep an eye on. But I would say along that defensive line, the backups to the interior, to those two guys up front, that's a big question mark at this point.
Hey. Our boy Odangbo, 2 sacks.
Dai Odangbo primarily rushed from the outside. He primarily was an edge rusher, and he was one of the ones that had.
Point out Dio.
Yeah, he had one of his better games. In my stock up, stock down report, Odangbo was on the stock up. He's been looking good. He's starting to get his legs underneath him, and showing that he can be that presence on the edge that the Colts thought he would be when they drafted him last year.
So let's talk about it, Andrew. Stock up. Stock down. I assume Patman and Strawn both stock up. Stock down. Where? Give me some stock up, stock down. Just a few.
Okay, so you already mentioned two of them. Patman and Strawn look great. Odangbo was my third. Also look great with those 2 sacks. Now, a guy that Chris Burton was asking about, Rodney Thomas. Rodney Thomas played very well. The 7th-round pick out of Yale, a guy that played linebacker, cornerback, and safety in college there at Yale. He's been primarily at safety for the Colts, and he had quite a few plays on Saturday, not only on defense, but on special teams, which the Colts love guys that are on special teams or that can contribute on special teams if they're not going to contribute on offense or defense in a big way. Rodney Thomas is starting to come on. Another guy, probably my last stock up, Trevor Denbo, the undrafted free agent safety, who has
your personal friend.
He's starting to make a name for himself on special teams as well. I think not only does he lead the Colts in special teams tackles, he leads the NFL in special teams tackles during the preseason. So it's a name the Colts are it's a guy that the Colts are pretty high on. I think he has a shot to make the 53-man roster.
Stats Matt is obsessed with Weatherford. I mean he's obsessed.
He loves him some Sterling Weatherford. I think when we get to roster cuts and position battles, we'll talk about him a little bit. But yeah, Rodney Thomas, definitely a stock up guy for me.
All right, and stock down, do we talk stock down?
Not really. I mean, the backup defenders on the interior of the defensive line, all of them did not perform. Definitely stock down there. Ryan Vandermark, offensive tackle, undrafted free agent guy out of UConn. He really struggled on Saturday. I think he gave up 2 sacks to Austin Bryant. He just seemed very slow out of his stance. So definitely a guy that I had bigger aspirations for and thought he might push to make the roster. I don't see that now, especially if Dennis Kelly comes back. I think Vandermark will be one of those guys that ends up getting cut and relegated to the practice squad.
Are we allowed to talk about your new close friend?
Not yet.
Okay.
We'll wait.
Also, since we're on Colts versus Lions, what I do know is the Colts beat the fucking brakes off the Lions in that practice last week.
The Colts pretty much dominated joint practices against the Lions. That was for sure.
I mean, a lot of people did listen to Pat's show. They were there live. Incredible. I mean, the way they were making it sound, it was like Matt Ryan was throwing against air. I mean, my grandpa was like, I'm not taking Matt. You can keep Matt Ryan in the fantasy draft. Because what I've seen from him, I'm like, you mean the first preseason game, old man? Did you hear about the Detroit Lions just getting the shit kicked out of them by Matt Ryan? I mean, unbelievable.
Matt Ryan looked good. Alec Pierce looked good. Michael Pittman looked good. Yeah, those were the three guys that really stood out on offense against the Detroit Lions in those joint practice sessions.
All right. And the Colts camp is wrapping up. This is the beef. Okay. The beef of the episode. What we learned from camp. Andrew, what we learned from camp is that Matt Ryan's the real deal. Michael Pittman Jr., the real deal. Paris Campbell gets our hopes up every year. Let's find out.
You're still not sold on Paris Campbell, and you're not going to be until he proves it in the regular season.
He's got to make it to at least game eight. And I mean to be like, okay, hang on to him.
I hope he does.
And I hope he produces.
But yeah, I think the biggest thing we learned from camp is I think this team's close. I really do. I think they have, I mean, having Matt Ryan under center makes such a big difference. It's no longer the roller coaster on every single play. We're not worrying about whether he's going to throw a touchdown pass or is it going to be holding onto the ball too long for a sack, or is it going to throw a left-handed interception? We don't have to worry about that anymore. You know, with Matt Ryan, that you're getting a fantastic leader. You're getting a guy that gets rid of the ball very quickly. You're getting a guy that is one of the most cerebral quarterbacks in the entire National Football League. And the ball's going to come out on time. So it's just a different feeling around this team. And I think it's what was needed for such a young wide receiver group, which outside of Michael Pittman Jr. has zero guys that have really proven themselves in the NFL. And do you remember in the beginning when I was talking about how Matt Ryan was consistently taking wide receivers aside and kind of talking to them?
Yeah.
Well, as training camp has gone along, that's gotten less and less frequent because these wide receivers are catching on. They're getting what he wants. They know exactly where they need to be, where Matt Ryan's going to throw the football. And that's just going to help this entire offense just continue to get better as the season goes along, as these young wide receivers start to come on and get more comfortable in the NFL game. And as this offense in general just starts pushing down the field more.
And through injuries, I think we also learned that we're going to be going for it on fourth down even more than normal.
I mean, it could be. They did sign a punter.
I think we're still going to be aggressive. I don't think we learned that from camp. I mean, nothing stood out to me as a surprise. I think the defense is still, and we're going to talk about that. Let's just move on to thoughts on the offense. I think the offense is going to be just fine, and I think the practice against the Lions was proof of that.
Well, and we haven't even really seen Jonathan. We haven't seen Jonathan Taylor. I mean, we've seen him in practice, but they still have that beast in the backfield. Number 28 is ready to come out and really attack this year. And a little humble brag, I spoke to him on Wednesday and was just kind of asking him what he worked on after, because he had almost 2,000 yards last year, 20 touchdowns. What was he working on to get better this offseason after such an incredible year? And he really talked about his patience. I mean, he said he wanted to be a little bit more patient as far as making sure some holes developed, just not being so gung-ho, I guess, about going straight into the line. He wanted to make sure he was kind of ratcheting up his cerebral quality to his running game. So I think, And again, we're only in year three of Jonathan Taylor. I think we're going to continue to see him getting better. And for opposing defenses, that's a scary thought.
You know where I see him getting better? And honestly, I feel like, and it just kind of hit me because of the same, you know, one of the same arguments I was having with my grandpa about fantasy football. The pass catching out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, Matt Ryan loves to throw the ball to his running backs, and all we talk about right in regards to that is Nyheim Hines. Well, guess what? Jonathan Taylor could all of a sudden, hey, Derrick Henry has started to make more of a difference catching the ball as well, even if it's just a little out, you know, like Jonathan, that is where I believe Jonathan Taylor could show improvement. And I mean, I think his numbers could be even crazier if that's something that Matt Ryan falls in love with. We'll see.
Right. I mean, you can even take it a step further. It's not just Jonathan Taylor. It's the whole running back group, because we already know Nyheim Hines is going to have a huge role in the passing game. And I was talking to Jake earlier today, And it wouldn't surprise me if Nyheim Hines has 80 to 85 catches at least, and is second on the team in catches behind Michael Pittman Jr. I could very well see that. And I think it might even be probable that that happens because of how much Frank Reich and wants to get Nyheim Hines involved and get the ball into his hands.
Yeah. I want to tie the offense to the defense. Okay. The defense is still really good. I don't believe the analysts that you see on Twitter and Instagram. Don't believe the shit. Okay. Draft the Colts in your fantasy league, right? They're one of the best defenses in the league. They lost Rocky Sin and got a better corner. Okay. We lost Kari Willis. We have maybe one of the best rookie safeties in the league. Maybe, right? We also gained a better pass rusher and a defensive coordinator who wants to get to the quarterback more. Okay. We are still going to be one of the best defenses in the league. Our offense struggled pretty heavily against that defense. Okay. That doesn't mean the offense stinks. It means the defense is probably really good. Thoughts on the defense, Andrew?
Barring health, this is a top five defensive unit.
And by the way, Darius Leonard's not even out there right now.
Shaquille Leonard, that's the big question. We'll get to Shaquille Leonard in a second. But Yannick Ngakoue, definite upgrade over Aquadine Muhammad. Yeah. What do you pay? You're expecting him to take the next step. You know what you're getting out of DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart. One is an all-pro talent. One is borderline one of the best nose tackles in the entire NFL. And then you move outside to the cornerback position, replacing Rock Ya-Sin with Stephon Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore, a lot of the days throughout camp in Westfield, has been the best player on the field. I mean, going toe-to-toe with Michael Pittman Jr. And yeah, Pittman has won his fair share of reps because he's a great wide receiver. But Stephon Gilmore doesn't make anything easy. And Stephon Gilmore has won most of his reps, especially in one-on-one. He's a very cerebral corner. The Colts are going to put him in position to succeed. And I think he's going to be one of those guys that locks down his side of the field for the Colts. I really do. And you talked about Nick Cross. I want to talk about Julian Blackmon. Julian Blackmon, I think, is going to succeed. Like this defensive scheme, this Gus Bradley cover three zone man match scheme that you want to, however you want to classify it, Julian Blackmon is going to absolutely eat in this defensive scheme because he's allowed to sit in the middle of the field, the deep middle of the field. He's allowed to use his instincts because he's a very instinctive, very smart player. And he just goes out there and makes plays. The Achilles injury does not look like it has hindered him at all. He looks 100%. He looks explosive. And he's out there making plays every day. I mean, take a look at the thumbnail of our episode. If you're watching on YouTube, he snagged a one-handed interception in one-on-ones. Yep. So this defense has all of the components there to be a top five defense. And then when you bring Shaquille Leonard back, it just, the heart and soul of this defense, it just pulls everything right together. I would be very disappointed if this defense by the end of the season wasn't at least considered a top 10 defense in the NFL.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. We had some games where we gave up some big points, but we also turned the ball over ourselves a fair amount of times. Our offense did not convert on defensive takeaways very often.
Right.
I mean, and there's a long list of games here that were very close that we could have won. The Titans one time. The Seahawks, I know it's a 12-point game at the end of the game, game one, but realistically, that was, I think, wasn't their garbage time touchdown. The Rams by three. I mean, there's games all littered through. Baltimore Ravens, we should have won. There's games riddled through that season, okay, that we were in because of the defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, first and foremost. So, which undrafted free agents to make the team?
Well, I think when you look at it, it's the linebackers have the best chance. I mean, talking about stats, Matt's guy, Sterling Weatherford. Talking about a guy in JoJo Doman at the linebacker position. Those two are probably the two top guys that I would expect to make it, filling out the rest of the linebacker group. And then Trevor Denbo, he's got a shot to make it because of how good he is on special teams. That final safety spot's really up in the air. And the Colts could even keep – usually I say the Colts will keep four safeties. They could keep more than four. Yeah. It has happened, but you know, Blackman Cross and Rodney McLeod are locks to make the team. But then there's a group of Rodney Thomas, who I said is doing pretty well. Trevor Denbo, and then Armani Watts. Denbo. And then Armani Watts.
Denbo fan podcast.
Armani Watts, who the Colts signed in free agency coming over from the Kansas City Chiefs. He was thought to be that fourth safety, but he's hurt and he hasn't played much. So that's opening the door for Thomas and Denbo to really sneak in there and place and stake their claim to make that roster. So I think those are the three guys that I would say have the highest probability to make the roster. I would say JoJo and Sterling Weatherford are near locks at this point. And then Denbo, we'll have to see how the numbers play out, but I think he's got a good case to make the team as well.
All right, and position battles. The tight end position battle has come to a sad, sad close. It is going to be Mo, Kylan Granson, and Jelani Woods. Looking forward to Ogletree being back in the mix next year. Not a bad group to go into it with next year as well. Hey, we don't have to draft a tight end next year, probably. That's good news.
That is true. And the thing is, too, is, I mean, as we've seen, we saw Drew Ogletree go down. But Jelani Woods has started to come on these past couple weeks. Yeah. I've tweeted about it when I've been at practice. He's catching more balls. He looks like he doesn't look like he's confused like he did for a couple weeks there. It looks like the game is starting to slow down for him. And he and Matt Ryan kind of talked about it too, how he's starting to make those gains in the offense. Kylan Granson, I think, is an X factor for this Colts offense. I think the Colts really need Kylan Granson to take not only the next step, but a big next step. I think Kylan Granson needs to turn into a reliable option in this Colts offense, because when you have that move tight end in Frank Reich's offense, it just opens so many things up. And with all these young pass catchers, the more options that Matt Ryan has, the better. So Kylan Granson's looked really good the past couple weeks. He also looked good in training camp last year. Now it's about putting it on the field during the regular season and showing that you've taken that next step and you can be a threat on offense week in and week out.
Apparently they used Granson as a fullback a couple times this week. That's very entertaining.
It was kind of funny to see them hand off to Granson and for him to just go into the line and immediately get stuffed. It was pretty funny.
Next. All right. And any other position battles at this point that stand out to you?
I think a lot of them have already been determined. Matt Pryor has won the left tackle job. They have kind of
kicker.
Well, we'll get to kicker in a second.
Oh yeah, I forgot kicker segment.
I want to talk about the different offensive line combinations this week, because Ryan Kelly missed practice on Wednesday and Tuesday and Thursday because he tested positive for COVID. So Danny Pinter moved in to the starting center role, and then they elevated Will Fries to the starting right guard. So it was Pryor, Nelson, Pinter, Fries, Smith. But the Colts also experimented with putting Bernard Raymond in at left tackle, moving Matt Pryor from left tackle to right tackle, and shifting Braden Smith inside to right guard with Pinter as the center. So that's because, I mean, Braden Smith was originally drafted to be a guard. So I think the Colts are really going to try to get the best five out there at any given time. So we could see some interesting offensive line combinations this year if a guy goes down due to injury or can't make it out there. So it'd be interesting to watch.
What am I missing here? If Kelly went down, Pinter moves to center, doesn't Raymond just come in?
No, Pinter moved to center. Will Fries, the backup guard, moved into right guard.
What am I losing my mind on Raymond for?
Raymond came in when the Colts took Fries out and then put Raymond in at left tackle, moved Matt Pryor from left tackle to right tackle.
Oh, I'm thinking, never mind. I'm caught up.
Braden Smith inside. You get it.
I don't know why I was thinking Raymond was not battling for it really, but a guard spot, but he was with Pryor at left tackle. There it is.
But yeah,
there's where my brain's not working.
Matt Pryor at left tackle, Danny Pinter at right guard. That's pretty much where they're going to be. Some other position battles were at strong safety between Nick Cross and Roddy McLeod. That, while Gus Bradley said that's still up in the air, it looks like that's going to be Nick Cross's job. He's shown everything during the preseason and camp. And then let's talk kickers. Your boy, Hot Rod, Rodrigo Blankenship.
Shoot, never mind.
Has won the kicking competition.
Hot damn. Turning that applause all the way up. That's fantastic. Love to hear it. Close personal friend of mine shook his hand. Those glasses are something in person, too, just so you know. That's fantastic. Glad to hear it. We had a question on kickers. Do we have a Matt Bruce here?
Well, that's kicker talk.
That's kicker talk. All right. Colts versus Bucks.
Colts versus Bucks.
All right, Andrew. So first question we've got list here is how long will the Colts play? Well, Frank's been talking about this being a dress rehearsal. I imagine they're going to be out there maybe two quarters, quarter and a half.
I would say you can expect the Colts starters to play close to an entire half. Wow. And now you aren't going to see Jonathan Taylor, and you're not going to see Nyheim Hines. Frank Reich already said that those two guys aren't going out there. They know what they have in those guys. They know what the roles are going to be. And they'd like to see, because there are still battles for that fourth running back spot. Philip Lindsay has pretty much secured the running back three spot. He'll be the guy that starts.
By the way,
on Saturday.
4 years ago, I tell you, Philip Lindsay is our running back three one day. And you tell me bullshit.
It's pretty wild. But he's looked good. He really has. But the Colts really want to see what they have in some of the other running backs, like Tyson Williams, Deion Jackson, those guys fighting for that final running back spot. So
you think starters, they keep a fourth running back, stats man ass?
I think they do. I really do. Because I think they want one, because in the blink of an eye, if something, God forbid, happens to JT or Nyheim Hines.
How dare you say that? How can you let that come out of your mouth, you piece of garbage?
They need to have some depth back there. So I do think they keep four running backs. They have a lot better chance of keeping four running backs than three quarterbacks. I'll tell you that.
All right.
And by the way, Tom Brady, who we haven't seen in the chat tonight, Tom Brady's playing on Saturday. But
yeah, by the way, where the hell's Tom Brady at? I mean, this is the time he should show up. You know, right before the big game. He's busy getting prepared. He doesn't want us to be able to talk shit next week. he is going to play.
He is going to play. Todd Bowles said that Brady is playing, and any starter for the Bucks that is not currently injured will be playing on Saturday and playing for about a half. So we're going to see.
Don't run any sprints this week.
It's a bigger game. There he is. Tom Brady saying the game of the year.
Hot damn. I love Tom Brady.
I love the Tom Brady that watches and comments on our show.
Yeah, that's the real Tom Brady. I mean, he's a social media savant. You think that's not really him? Hilarious. Dude, imagine it's really Tom Brady and his fun on Thursday night is like, hey guys, I'm gonna go fuck around with these weirdos that have a Colts podcast. That'd be incredible. What if one day we find out, oh man, the joy it would bring me to know that. All right, well, we're dreaming anyway. So the Colts starters are going to play a while along with the Bucks starters. We've talked about it being a dress rehearsal game, Andrew. They're going to, you know, get on the bus, do the hotel, the whole thing. It's going to be as real as it gets. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're doing. Who cares? Of course, the Bucks are going to easily win. It's the preseason, and the Colts never win a preseason game. but I mean, they're going to try to make it as real as it gets because they want to be ready come opening day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you don't want guys to get injured, but you also want these starters to get some time in, because there is still a new quarterback. There's a lot of new pieces on this team that you want to get familiar with, because you got to remember this. The Colts, the Colts got to get off it to a fast start to start the year, because five out of their first seven opponents are division opponents. The Colts could theoretically have a really big lead in the division just based off the division games by the time we get to midseason. So the Colts want to get off to a fast start. They don't want to take 4 or 5 weeks to get going like they have in the past couple of years. They need to hit the ground running. So this is going to be a big test for them.
And who should we be paying attention to on this Saturday? I would assume position battle guys, Matt Ryan. This week, I would say Matt Ryan, I would like to see perform a little better. But again, we're still going to be running a pretty vanilla offense. It's still not going to be what, you know, like this game, probably the most important of the three, but it's still so unimportant at the same time. That makes sense.
It does. Can you hear my neighbor mowing? It's like clockwork. Every time we record, neighbor's got to go out and mow. It's dark, but there's a lawnmower going. So
he's got headlights on that bad boy.
I guess so. But no, the position group I'm going to watch on offense, obviously, is the wide receivers. I want to see how they get off of press coverage. I want to see if they can handle going up against a physical secondary. I want to see how Paris Campbell and Alec Pierce perform. Make sure that see if they can get some momentum going before they go to Houston week one. Then on the defensive side of the ball, I'm going back to the interior of the defensive line, because it was just not a good showing against Detroit. I want to see guys like Eric Johnson and Curtis Brooks really step up behind DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart, kind of solidify their spot as the backups along the interior. So those are really the two groups that I'm going to be watching. I'll be there on Sunday up close and personal. So should be a good time.
Stats Matt says, if the Bucks are truly playing some starters, he'd like to see us bring Raymond in to play some actual starters for a while. Maybe,
but I think they want to give Matt Pryor as many reps with the starters as possible.
But I assume Kelly won't be playing this weekend. So
Kelly, I doubt Kelly plays this weekend. So you very well could see maybe a quarter of Will Fries in there with the starters, and then maybe they switch it up. Maybe they do a quarter where Raymond's at left tackle and they do Smith at right guard, Pryor at right tackle. Who knows? It'll be interesting to watch.
All right. And other Colts news, Andrew. Tight end Drew Ogletree suffered a torn ACL at practice last Wednesday and will be out for the season. Very sad stuff for that young man who was playing very well. I mean, I think we're going to keep four tight ends.
Yeah. That definitely hurts, because Drew Ogletree was on pace to have a pretty prominent role in the Colts offense. I'm talking to some guys there in the facility. The Colts brass thinks that Ogletree has Pro Bowl potential at tight end. And they don't say that lightly. So yeah, just terrible news for a kid that was killing it in training camp. He was doing a phenomenal job. Great kid too. Just phenomenal person. So, and he's still been out there at practice every single day. His leg is in a brace and everything, but he's out there cheering on his teammates. So, big things to come from Drew Ogletree, I would expect next season and beyond.
And the bad news is there's more sad news. Punter Rigoberto Sanchez tore his Achilles at practice Tuesday and is out for the season. Running team sprints. Why is the punter running sprints? He doesn't need to be running sprints.
It's a team game, Brandon. Number one, everybody runs sprints. And yes,
literally, the punter doesn't need to do anything with the team.
The punter needs to be
occasionally levels a motherfucker, and that's it.
The punter needs to be in shape. He needs to be conditioned. How many times did we see Pat McAfee
cap presses? Pat McAfee, receiver's dad from Hard Knocks.
How many times did you see Pat McAfee laying dudes out? It's because these guys are in shape. They can't just kick and not run any sprints. It's football. It's running. Things can happen. It's a freak accident.
People are going to ask.
Well, people are wrong. People suck.
People do suck. I probably pop an Achilles if I went doing some sprints right now too. And the Colts have signed his replacement, former Bills punter Matt Hawk. Hack. I like Hack. Matt Hawk, 52 punts last year. Is this last year? That's a lot of punts in 1 year.
Rigo had around 60, I thought.
All right, 52 punts. We never punted. 2,230 yards, 42.9 average. I mean, he probably would have kept his job, but they didn't draft him, or did they draft him, or was he unsigned? But I mean, this kicker they signed can bomb the ball.
Let's not talk about him, because some bad things came out about him this evening that we're not going to mention it on the show. But
Andrew's definitely going to tell me when we're done. If you want to find out, go Google it.
Go Google it, because
that's hilarious. Because they just cut him. They just cut Hawk.
This is a family show. But anyways, Matt Hawk was the best punter. Matt Hawk was the best available punter out there. He is in the same mold as Sanchez, where he's more of a directional punter. He's a very accurate punter, and he's been doing it in the league. I think he's a 5 or 6 year veteran, so he doesn't kick off. I know he holds, but he doesn't kick off. So could he transition into doing that? Do we see Hot Rod handle the kickoff duties this year? We'll have to see. But I think the Colts for when the Sanchez injury happened, and by the way, a lot of guys, I mean, Sanchez is a big part of this team. You wouldn't think about it because he doesn't say much. You don't really
talk about him. Cancer thing last year was huge.
2 years ago, but it was in 2020. It was 2020. But anyways, I mean, Bubba Ventrone had a Rigoberto Sanchez shirt on Wednesday, and he was obviously shaken up. I mean, visibly emotional when he was talking to us in the media about Sanchez and the conversations that they had when it happened, things like that. So, I think the Colts did well. Hawk was definitely the best punter available, and I think he'll do well in a Colts uniform this season.
Do I have to read this next part? Injury designations on the PUP list: linebacker Darius Shaquille Leonard. Still,
as of right now, I think he can come off the PUP list before the season starts, but we'll see. At this point, I'm losing faith that he's going to be out there for week one. I really am. I don't think he will. I think it's probably going to take a couple weeks into the season at this point before we see Shaquille Leonard.
Zero real news. What are we going to talk, Aaron Donald? What can we get to news around the league, Stats Matt? Or how many Bush lights has Stats Matt had tonight? Look at the comments section. I need to get another administrator in the YouTube comments to administrate him. Oh my gosh. Stats Bush Light. All right. Enough picking on Stats Matt tonight. Roster cuts: wide receiver DJ Montgomery, defensive tackle Kavion Patton, center Alex Mollett, running back CJ Verdell, and kicker Jake Verity. Center Alex Mollett could start a razor business and compete.
You are so stupid.
Is he bald? Is he bald?
I don't know if he's bald or not. All right,
we're not talking about Indos. Bye-bye, Jake Verity. Sorry, you kick it longer, but you don't kick it better, brother. Now, here's a guy who can kick it between the uprights. Hot Rod. Colts named to the NFL Top 100 list as of late. Quentin Nelson, 28.
28. Not bad. Tired than I thought he would be after last year. So, I mean, again, this is voted on by the players. The players... I still know that Quentin Nelson is the best guard in the NFL, and he was rated as the highest guard in the NFL. So I think what's left is the top 20. And
speaking of the highly rated guards, I saw a ridiculous stat that Zach Martin has more Pro Bowl appearances than he does holding calls in the NFL. Wild statistic. And he's Zach Martin, he's gone 2 or 3 seasons with no holding calls.
Zach Martin is a Hall of Famer. He is fantastic at the right guard position.
I think Quentin Nelson's better, but that's a ridiculous statistic.
I mean, Zach Martin's right there. I mean, you could make an argument either way. And I obviously
think Quentin Nelson
is better, but you could make an argument either way. Both stud guards from University of Notre Dame. Got to throw that in there.
But of course, Andrew, big Notre Dame fan.
Big Notre Dame fan. So there's 20 spots left on the top 100.
Are you basketball, Notre Dame football?
Jonathan Taylor and Shaquille Leonard are the two Colts that are left. And NFL did say that those two are in the top 100. So predictions: where do you think JT and Leonard are in the top 20?
Depends. Is the top 100 as biased towards quarterbacks as everything else is?
I don't know how many quarterbacks there were left in there. I think it was Brady, Josh Allen, Mahomes.
Just 15.
And Rodgers. I think there was four of them.
Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in this league.
Well, yeah, he was MVP
2 years in a row.
Where's Jonathan Taylor and Shaquille Leonard going to end up? Taylor at 5?
Shaq at 19.
19, okay. See, I'd say I like 5 for JT. I like 5 for JT. I'm going to put Leonard up a little bit. I'm going to say 13.
All right. Probably not, because nobody appreciates the man except for, you know, Colts fans. All right. News around the league. Stats match drunk. The NFL and the Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson have agreed to a disciplinary settlement. Interesting. Watson will be suspended 11 games and pay a $5 million fine. Well, that's a little better, the $5
million. $5
million. 11 games is better.
Read the next point I put in there.
Watson is slated to return week 13 against the Texans. Yeah, I wonder if that was on purpose. He said, you know what? Just let me come back against these mother effers, and we got a deal.
I think that was very – 11 games just seems like a random number. But then when you look at it and say, oh, they play the Texans as their 12th game, not so random anymore.
How long until the Browns are in trouble for talking to a player that's suspended?
Like talking to him during his suspension?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Guarantee it. Chargers and safety Derwin James agree to a 4-year, $76.5 million extension with $42 million guaranteed, highest paid safety in NFL history.
Good when, when he's healthy, he's an absolute monster.
I like seeing guys get paid money.
When he's healthy, he's an absolute monster, but I don't know if he's played a full season in his career. I'd have to check stats, Matt. Can you check on that? Has Derwin James ever played a full season in his career? But I mean, I can't argue with that kind of money because he has that kind of impact when he is on the field.
And the Panthers have named quarterback Baker Mayfield the starter for week one versus the Browns. I really wish this Deshaun Watson stuff would have gotten pushed off to next year, because that's the game I want to see much more than Deshaun Watson go back and kick the shit out of the Houston Texans.
I would love to see Baker Mayfield go play the Browns, throw for about 325 and 4 TDs. That would be awesome.
I would enjoy that a lot. That is a game I'd love to watch. Jets wide receiver Denzel Mims. Hey, remember him, Andrew? Request to be traded. Buddy, you are not good enough to be doing that.
So his agent put out a statement today saying that Mims worked hard all offseason and he still isn't big giving a chance to show what he's got with the starting offense. So he wants to be traded so he can go somewhere to show his talents. So we'll see if anything comes from it. Yeah, but I don't like that. I think there were some character issues. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, like pissing and moaning wanting to trade because he's not working hard enough. Chargers cornerback JC Jackson underwent ankle surgery this week and is expected to be out 2 to 4 weeks. Not too bad for that surgery.
Not too bad, but he was a huge free agent acquisition. You get it in this spring. So I'm sure the Chargers want him back as soon as possible.
All right. And Andrew's about to get made fun of. Here it comes. Cowboys offensive tackle Tyron Smith suffered an avulsion fracture.
You get it.
Of the knee and will be out until at least December. He suffered that.
Oh, he did suffer because Brandon, do you know what an avulsion fracture is?
I do not. Sounds bad.
It's basically when your hamstring, the muscle itself, gets ripped off your kneecap. That's an avulsion fracture. So not a good injury for Tyron Smith. And he's at least December. I wouldn't be surprised if he misses the whole year. Big blow to the Dallas Cowboys offensive line.
RIP to that quad muscle, I would assume, Andrew, because your kneecap's on the front.
The back of your knee. Back. You get it.
Okay, so is the hamstring?
No, it is the hamstring.
Okay, so no kneecap involved.
From our boy Ian Rappaport, it said our hamstring disconnected from the kneecap.
From the knee.
You get it.
That hurts to think about. Giants defensive end Kayvon Thibodeau suffered a sprained MCL that's expected to sideline him 3 to 4 weeks.
So I put this in there because you probably didn't see it, but it's been all a big stink about how he was injured on this play, because it was a chop block or a cutback block, not really cutback, but it was a low block from from one of the offensive linemen or from one of the tight ends. And it's caused a big stink of whether the block was dirty or not. But literally those blocks have been going on for years, and it's in the rules. There was nothing illegal about that type of block. So I don't know. I think there's just a lot of people that have become soft for the game of football. It was a fine block, in my opinion.
Randy Moss's son did that shit. He's a tight end, just saying. Matt said it, not me. Commander's defensive end Chase Young decides he wants nothing to do with this shit. Gets placed on the pup list to begin the season. How long till that guy gets out of there? Probably pretty quick.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, he's just got to stay healthy because he's such a talent.
That poor guy had Carson Wentz put on his team and got named a commander all in one offseason. He's ready to go.
Man, I hope he goes to a place where he can thrive, because when healthy, he's one of the best players at his
position. Indianapolis is really close to Ohio State.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. The Raiders plan to release running back Kenyon Drake. That's kind of a surprise.
Yeah, I thought he was going to have, and I think at this point he has been released. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's a valuable running back, I think. Especially, you have a guy come in, he could be your change of pace back. He could be pretty good.
And the Raiders also trade quarterback Nick Mullins to the Vikings for a conditional 2024 seventh-round pick. Whoop-dee-doo. Are you really going to stop and talk about that, or can I keep it moving? How you doing? Okay.
Keep it moving.
Linebacker Shaquem Griffin retires from the NFL. That's 5 less fingers in the league. God damn it. I had to do it.
I was going to say, waiting for it. I was going to say something nice about him, how he was actually able to play in the NFL.
Incredible.
Without a hand and still play in the NFL for 4 seasons. Like, that's wild.
No, it's amazing.
Props to him.
Did he retire just because he couldn't find a team that wanted it? I mean,
I think he's a free agent. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But great joke still. Hard Knocks episodes 2 and 3. Andrew, I got to be honest, I did not watch the entire episode of either, but I did watch a little of both. I apparently don't have a banner. So Dan Campbell is electric. The speech by, and that could be the speech by who is that, the defensive coordinator,
Aaron Glenn or Deuce Staley,
the one that gave the preach about waking up, putting your feet on the ground, knowing you're going to go win a football game.
I think that might have been Aaron Glenn, defensive Aaron coordinator Glenn.
Yeah, that's right. Hell of a speech. Hey, when you went to Ohio State, how many games you lose? 1. So when you woke up on Saturday morning, you knew you were going to go win that football game, right? There it is, man. Wake up, put your feet on the ground. We're going to go win a football game today. Hell yeah. Brick wall. Let's go.
Man, I felt bad for David Blau. I mean, hell of a husband. Hell of a husband. Very unfortunate football player. For that second episode when they were taking on the Atlanta Falcons, all they basically had to do was just go down, get into field goal range and run out the clock, kick the field goal, and he fumbles the ball away, like literally the next play. So tough break for David Blau.
Which, by the way, Dan Campbell said, man, we were in a position to win. You know, he put it on the team. He didn't put it on David Blau. You could expect a hard-nosed coach like that to be, which, by the way, some of these position coaches, in the position rooms, they are not afraid to bury a guy in front of everybody. But Dan Campbell did not do that in front of the whole team.
That's a lot different than when we watched Hard Knocks with the Colts last year.
So different.
That did not happen.
So different. Like that guy, was he from? He's from, I don't know the exact country, but he's from Africa, correct?
Easy?
Yeah. Yes. Poor guy. Dude uses an American saying on him, and he goes, I don't know, nobody. Because he doesn't know the saying. Who are you cheating? Who are you cheating in that moment? Nobody. I don't get it. Yourself. He's looks like an American saying he's just shoving it down his throat. I'm like, this is brutal. But yeah, I kind of I turned it off right before the game in episode two, and then right as Colts practice started in episode three. So
Colts practice in episode three, though, Jamal Williams and Zaire Franklin going back and forth. And the funny thing is Zaire Franklin took to Twitter and called Jamal Williams a bum. He said for talking, and I guess because Jamal Williams was saying, oh, like, look at this rep where I beat Zaire Franklin. And Franklin goes, yeah, talk about that. It's after I beat you three times in a row, you bum. Yeah. Fantastic exchange on Twitter. Zaire Franklin wants
only in
the
NFL. Only in the NFL you find a bum that'll do this. Hilarious. By the way, though, Jamal had a do-rag on that I do believe had Goku on it. So I respect the hell out of that. Dragon Ball Z.
That's the day that the Colts absolutely wrecked the Detroit Lions on the practice field.
Like, absolutely
put them to shame.
Do we know what Detroit's offense looked like during that? Because all I know about is the defense and the Colts offense wrecking them. Do we know what their offense did? Not much.
Not much on that Thursday. I think it was Wednesday. On Thursday, it was more even on both sides of the ball. But on that Wednesday practice, the Colts had their way with them. So
yeah. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, make sure to go follow us at A Colts Podcast on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Twitter, we're getting real close. Getting real close to that big 1,000 number. Also, if we don't hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube by the end of the season, I'll probably quit. Or, I mean, I'll probably just quit. You know, I'm trying to make that money. You know, you can start making, we're all we need to do, hit 1,000 subscribers, start making a little money. And if we do that, we'll probably do some kind of giveaway.
I'm all about the giveaway.
Maybe I'll give Andrew's tickets to a regular season game away. Playoff game.
You can't take my tickets.
Playoff game. Playoffs. Why? You'll just go sit in the press box, you fancy schmancy ass.
Not this year. Maybe next year. Maybe. We'll see.
All right. And also big shout out to Homefield.
Love Apparel. Homefield.
Go check out homefieldapparel.com this Saturday, noon o'clock Eastern, for the big Colts release. And then
promo code,
start, Colts promo podcast. Code A Colts Podcast, all one word, for 15% off. Andrew, until next time, go Colts.
Go Colts.
Let this moment become a cherished memory. And then remember, a legacy is only worthwhile when there is a future to fuel. God bless you, and God bless football.